This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie. And one piece of advice regarding propping the space shuttle, wear gloves.
And get a big ladder.
Big ladder.
Anyway.
We have Harold Cannon with us today. You're here courtesy Warbirds of America. You were talking about one of the new features that we have down there.
Yes, I am. The Warbirds of America, of course, exists to preserve the history, the aircraft, and the stories of the people of those who served us. And one of the things that we find very important is getting youth involved. And so our president, Connie Bolin, came to me as I was becoming past president and said, I'll do the presidency, but I have a job for you. And since I was trying really hard to get her to do a bigger job, I took the bait. And what is this job? Well, we want to start a program to get youth involved, and the way to do that is through computers, and the way to do that in the flying world is simulation. So the idea was formed that we would start a youth education center, which would be built around aircraft simulation. Redbird Simulators partnered with us in a really big way and built a full-motion P-51. On spec for us. They stuck their necks out. We had a P-51 simulator in a tent. We had to lift the tent up to get the tent over the simulator.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, and so that started it. I think that year we flew a couple hundred kids. And Bud Anderson, the simulator was styled after his aircraft, Old Crow. He came and helped us open the feature and actually signed the simulator for us, which makes it pretty cool.
Yeah.
And Hank Minke, who lives up the road from us in Indiana, was kind enough to actually buy that simulator and donate it back to us. So that first year, we flew about 200 kids that week. Had a pretty good week. The second year, we came back.
And how many adults snuck in?
Well, actually, we started letting adults ride to begin with. When we didn't have kids in line, that lasted about an hour.
Yeah.
And for the rest of the week, no adults touched it, which is okay. We're 18 and under. And the next year, we came back with that sim and some desktop sims. The following year, we came back with a new building, which is on the grounds now. It says Warbird Youth Education and Center on it. So look for us. We're just north of the P-51s and the other fighters. And we've had two more folks step up. Actually, if I count, there's three. We're up to four sims now. Jim Tobel and Dave Marco stepped up and contributed a sim, and last year John O'Connor did the same. So we now have two Corsairs and two Mustangs, and this year on Monday we flew 183 kids in one day.
Wow.
That's a lot.
Absolutely.
Now, can you link them together and do like a dogfighting or formation?
You could, except they're fairly moderately high fidelity. They will depart controlled flight. They will depart and spin.
Wow.
And so you spend some time teaching spin recovery, and the kid gets a five-minute turn. And so it'd be a little hard to find somebody to dogfight in 5 minutes. But
yeah.
they have a good time. And, you know, some of these children are just amazing. I saw a four-year-old get in yesterday and start doing aileron rolls and things and didn't hit the ground. First rule is don't hit nothing. He followed the first rule of aviation.
There you go.
And it's amazing the innate talent that some of these kids have.
Interesting.
Well, yeah. We've always known that kids, they're little information sponges. They soak up stuff so quickly, so it'd be really easy to teach them to fly. They just master it.
It's just in the real plane, they can't see over the panel.
That's true. And these things are full size, so that's a thing too. But they have a blast. Their parents enjoy watching them, and hopefully they take away a little history as well.
I was going to ask, it's a realistic simulation, right? So when they get out of it, they're ramp checked by the FAA?
There you go.
We're warbirds. We don't.
With no FAA.
Yeah, we don't like
that. But they have to tell them not to firewall the throttle from a dead stop.
Right.
Actually, you do, because we start the really young ones at like 10,000 feet.
Oh, okay.
If you start on the runway, there is P factor and built in, and you can end up in the weeds really quickly. We did have to ask Redbird to turn down the fidelity on the first one because it actually accumulated damage and engine wear.
Oh, my goodness.
And you had to take it to the, quote, maintenance hangar. And that, when you're trying to run kids through, that was you had to stop every couple hours because the thing wouldn't make manifold pressure.
Oh, my goodness.
And so bottom line is that they did that for us, and they have taken that into account. These guys can simulate anything, and these simulators move. Okay, they're actually movement-based sims. So,
are you inside the black box with the screens in front of you?
They are inside a box that's painted to resemble the livery of the aircraft they're flying.
Okay.
There are, I'd have to count like 8 different screens, so it surrounds you visually. The instrument panel representation is correct. The throttle quadrant is correct. The stick, if you're a pilot, the stick does not load up. The rudder pedals don't load up.
Right.
But that's about the only thing you can say. And I'm sure if you want one of these for your basement, Redbird will oblige you.
I'm sure they would.
And I'm sure they could do that for you, too, if you ask.
Yeah. Okay.
Will they take a check, though?
It'll have a few zeros on it.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
About 5 or 6.
Well, between coming home with that and the Saturn V,
you're really happy. You guys have big ambitions.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, there's no project too big for us.
Absolutely.
So have you had kids camped out waiting for a shot at that?
As soon as you go in, we also had a very generous donor, so we now are no longer in a tent. We're in a permanent building. And I tell my volunteers to recruit their friends because it's indoors, there's air conditioning, no heavy lifting. It's the best.
There you go.
It's the best volunteer spot on the, well, maybe except for you guys. You guys got a pretty good gig.
Yeah.
But you do. But we do too. And aside from that, you see a lot of smiling faces.
Yeah, everybody's happy.
Yeah, pretty much.
Do they get like a picture of them flying or something like that?
If their parents want to, we'll let the parents get up close, and they take pictures usually. Some take video. Last year we had a young lady who was about maybe 15, 16, get in the P-51 sim, successfully took off, climbed up, cleaned the airplane up, rolled it, snapped it, did a loop, did a Cuban 8, started a routine, and her dad was standing behind her, and I said, that's incredible. And he said, well, she flies my extra.
She
cheated. She got a head start.
Yeah, she got a head start. What was that? She took flying lessons to prepare for the simulator.
And pretty extensive flying lessons, too.
Yeah.
But we figured that, to be involved in Warbirds takes a lot of dedication. A lot of resource. I know that I'm sitting here with you because 25 years ago I learned to fly, and I flew to the show the next year, and I set out by 279 and watched people land, landing lights stretched out forever, and coming off the Fisk arrival. And that afternoon I watched the air show, and it was the Warbird air show, and all these aircraft taken off, and there was something that really caught my eye were the T-34s, because it looked oddly familiar, and I thought I knew every airplane there was, but that thing kind of looked like a Bonanza, but it was kind of military, and these guys are taking off in section formation, and I thought, geez, they must all be ex-military, and the truth is they're not, but they're dedicated, and they study hard and work hard to learn these skills, and so ultimately I ended up coming back with a T-34 and then a T-6, and got involved, and somebody asked me to volunteer, and things went from there.
They hooked me,
so we're trying to hook some kids.
Yep. Interesting side note. I know your main focus is getting kids.
Absolutely.
But this simulator sounds faithful enough that you could actually use it to train pilots before you stick them in a real P-51.
Well, Redbird has that as a business model, as you're aware, and they do have simulators that do account, and I don't know the regs, but they do count toward your training in certain scenarios.
But what I'm saying is it's especially difficult with a single-seat aircraft to qualify a pilot.
These aren't that good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And in the Warbird war world, the T-6 is the gateway drug.
Okay.
So,
gateway drug.
Yeah, absolutely.
Seriously.
Leads to harder stuff.
It's a very serious drug. And so, you get time in a T-6, you learn to handle it. It was a brilliant design in that it has some of the bad habits that the fighters have. In fact, most of them, and sometimes a bit more. You know, the joke is a P-51 is a good trainer for a T-6, which is a good trainer for a Stearman.
Wow.
And to some extent, I think that's true. So these aren't quite that good, but they're good. And I don't know if I should tell this or not, but we put Bud Anderson.
I won't tell anyone.
Well, don't. This is top secret.
Right.
All right, everybody, turn the radio off.
We put Bud Anderson in the P-51, and he actually had a little trouble on the first takeoff.
Wow.
So, and it may be because it's not as good.
Well, the other thing is you don't have real 3D vision, so.
No, and feel as
right.
well.
Right.
Feel as well. But they're pretty dang good, and if you're here with someone who's 18 or younger, we'd really encourage you to come by.
And that's up in the Warbird Alley?
If it is just west of Warbird Alley and north of Fightertown. And it's a silver Quonset building with a glass front. You can't miss it.
Wow.
I'll tell you what, I'm 66. I can act like 18.
I wonder if we can pay him $20 to keep the building open later tonight, and we'll all sneak in and
air.
Get it around.
I'll bring the cable so you and I can dogfight.
There you go.
Well, we've talked about that. That might be a coming thing, but right now we're having a really great time doing it.
Actually, that would be a good fundraiser for you guys, after hours dogfighting. You know,
after hours
dogfighting, you know, you charge a few bucks. Or
I could see a beverage involved in that.
Request a donation.
Yeah. So,
anyway.
All right. Again, that's north of Warbirds?
North of Fightertown. West of Warbirds.
West of Warbirds. The Quonset Hut. We were up there last night.
Absolutely.
Thank you for joining us.
We're easy to see.
Yep. Thank you for joining us, Harold. This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie. And this is EAA Radio.